Big questions for little hearts.
Who is God?
Were Jesus and God different? Why can't I see God?
How do we know he's real if we can't see him?
Where's heaven?
What does heaven look like? How can Jesus fit inside my heart?
Join me, Charlene Sagan, special guest and teacher with over 30 years experience, Wendy Rind. We'll discuss how to approach these challenging conversations and how to best represent the heart of God to our children.
Big questions
for little hearts.
We are continuing with the series Big Questions for Little Hearts. So I'm joined here by the special guest host, Wendy. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, it's been great to be here.
Thank you so much. We are actually now on week 4 of the series. I can't believe how fast it's gone.
It's
and
gone fast.
There is just so much more I feel like we could talk about, but maybe we will redo this in the future. And so if you have missed the first 3 talks, we spoke about the foundation of it. Week 1, week 2 was questions around who God is. And week 2 was about questions around, you know, heaven and eternity and death, all the fun things. And then today we're going to get more into our life here on earth and just some of the other really challenging questions we may face as parents. So I'm joined here by Wendy Rind. And the questions that we want to kind of discuss today is the very heavy questions we sometimes face as parents, like why do bad things happen? What are bad things? And it's sometimes a very hard thing for us to understand ourselves. But before we get into the specifics, I'd love for you to just share some of the foundational theology behind this kind of theme.
Yeah, so once again, you know, when you hear these questions, be aware of your default religious formation answers and what those would be to these big questions. And instead of just blurting out the answers and giving a download of your interpretation and, you know, allow your little one to experience it for themselves. So go on a journey with them. Mm. Be curious, parents. Be curious. Ask questions to get their reference and their perspective of the question. Don't assume that they are on the same page as you. You know, what do they think bad things are?
Yeah.
You know, what is their reference of bad things? And I once asked a little one in my school, what would be a very bad thing that would happen to you? And he said, getting stuck at the top of a Ferris wheel. You know,
so specific. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's nothing what I thought a bad thing would be, you know. So how do we know bad things won't happen to us? You know, you don't know. Life is full of good and bad stuff. Mm. And we'll all experience deep hurts and deep joy. But we have God and we have a family around us, and we have friends that they can see and that they can touch, and if we connect them to God, they can experience God in those deep hurts and in those deep joys.
Yeah.
And we know that he goes with us through these times, and we have family and friends going through it with us too.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely in line with what we spoke about last week around the fact that the Spirit lives in us, and God's not there, or the sign that God's with us isn't that things are going well.
Exactly.
God's in it with us no matter what, all the time. So we're going to carry on talking about this in a sec.
So one of their questions would be kind of, why do bad things happen? And you can always ask, what are the bad things? What are you thinking about? You know, get their reference again. Mm-hmm. Why are they bad? And why do you think God allows bad things to happen? Ask them, you know, let them think a little bit, stretch their minds, you know, allow them to experience a little bit of thinking.
Mm.
And don't tell them what to think, but help them to think.
Mm.
And maybe ask them, did they ever learn something good from something bad that happened?
Mm.
You know, do you think there's a reason and a purpose for God allowing bad things to happen? And if God is good, would he allow some bad things to happen if he knew it was good for you?
Mm.
Those are the kind of things that you can ask them, because they'll kind of get a reference of who God is. Mm. You can ask your little ones, why do good things happen? You know, give that difference. What are the good things that happen? You know, why are they good? The fact that there is goodness shows that there is a God. And how would we feel God and feel God with us if bad or good things never happened? Like if we were running in the house, you know, that's one of our rules at school, you know, walking feet in the school because they're always falling over things. So if we were running in the house and you fell, did you learn that running in the house may cause you to fall and get hurt? Did that bad thing or that tough thing help you to learn something good? Even death, would death be a bad thing if we face to face with our good father?
Yeah.
If we see death as a punishment, fleshly death, you know, physical death as a punishment, what is the good that we can only that can only happen when there is a death? You know, death is a part of becoming.
Yeah,
it's to make space for life to happen. You know, like a caterpillar needs to die to become a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly. Leaves need to fall off the trees so that to give space for new life. So our and our little one's life will be a constant struggle between good and bad, hard and good.
Yeah, I think sometimes we forget that hard things are not the same as bad things. Sometimes bad things happen to us, but the fact that something's hard doesn't mean that it's bad. You know, my daughter before I came here, it's, you know, there was a big meltdown and she wants to come with me and she's crying. And I'm, you know, everything in me wants to just make it easy for her. Yeah. I'm like, okay, fine, I won't go to work, you know, and I'll ruin my day. But I realize that our kids have to go through hard things. That is how they build character. That is how they build resilience. Like exercising. Exercise is not fun in the beginning, but as you do it more, you become stronger. And so I think we also need to explain to our children that that is a necessary part of life, so we become stronger and we can tackle the next challenge. And so that is how God builds resilience within us. So Wendy, can you carry on just chatting to us?
Yes. So we live in this constant struggle between good and bad, you know, walking in the flesh when you should be walking in the spirit. Dying to the flesh and living in the spirit. You know, Paul speaks about it and he says, who will rescue me from this body of death? So we are, you know, the essence of us is not this body of death. He says, praise be to Jesus.
Mm.
And that's who rescues us from this body of death. And he allows us to walk in the reality of the spirit.
Yeah.
And so it's not whether good or bad exist, but it's that we can distinguish between them. Mm-hmm. and how will we know good if there isn't bad?
Yeah.
How are we able to recognize good and bad? Adam and Eve only knew good until they ate from the tree. Then they knew bad. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil was there before they ate from it. So it's only when they ate from it. You know, we think bad only came in then, yeah, when they ate of it.
Yeah.
But it was there. So we always blame them for creating bad. But, you know, it existed before Adam and Eve ate from that tree.
Yeah.
God has a preferred way. And that preferred way was for us to only know life and to only know him and his goodness. And all that he is. So there is a God that is so much bigger than this world's good and bad, you know, what we perceive. And we have a God that is with us in our suffering, in the bad and the good, and a God that knows what it feels like to suffer, to die, to live, to be hungry, to be full, to be misunderstood, to be followed, to be falsely accused, to be praised. To be honored and hallowed and misrepresented. Mm. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that Christians seem to do is misrepresent the big God, you know.
And I think for me, it's important that our kids understand that that's why we have this hope. You know, we have this wrestle of good and bad and this life here on earth that is sometimes hard, but the fact that we believe in God, we believe in a God who always redeems, always restores. And even for me, I mean, I think sharing your own stories about how God turned something that was bad into something good, I think that's where we can be vulnerable with our children and say, we've gone through this experience and it was really hard, but this is the character that grew in me, or this is how it turned out, and God in his goodness turned it into something beautiful and something good. And I think that's something that we can share with our kids and give real stories, real tangible stories, and even ask them to think about something that's happened in their life.
So all of these big questions that these little hearts give us the opportunity to go on a journey of discovery with our little ones, of the who and not the why. We don't always know the why, but we do know who the who is. So it's this big God, you know, the one bigger than our suffering and the one that is with us in our suffering. And it's all about reference and perspective. You know, when Jesus was asleep in the boat, our reference was this huge bad storm, you know, that the disciples were going through. And Jesus's reference and perspective was one of absolute peace and rest. And so it comes down to perspective and a reality of existence. And not everyone on this earth is living in the kingdom of God, where perfect peace rules, you know, where the ruler of their kingdom is Jesus, that perfect peace and that life and where perfect love abides.
Yeah, I think that's something that has helped me personally going through hard things, is to understand that I may not have control over what happens. I may not know what's going to happen, but I do know that God is consistent. I do know that God is ever present, consistently loving, always faithful, always patient, you know. And I think I love what you say, get them to focus on the who, because we know that God is completely unchanging, and so that we can hold on to that in hard times. And so really just focusing on those characteristics of God, and getting your child to see that who God is going to always be there, an anchor that they can hold on to. Thank you, Wendy. We're going to continue with this conversation just after 12. This Big Questions for Little Hearts series that we're talking about. So stay tuned, and remember, you can go listen to the previous week's talks. They're on our podcast section on the website. I think it'll be good to go back and listen to the whole thing, because I think the context and the foundation and the approach is just so fundamental. So stay tuned. Just after 12, we will continue with this conversation, this week's conversation. If you've been listening, you'll know we've been talking about why do bad things happen, and, you know, where's God in all of this. I'm joined here by Wendy. We've been talking as part of the series, Big Questions for Little Hearts. Wendy is a preschool teacher, been doing this for over 30 years. And so we've just had such a great conversation and spoken about really deep things. I think it's going to be so useful to adults too, not just children, because yes, I think it's a very deep theological struggle that we all have. But Wendy, as we wrap up this particular question around bad things happening, is there anything you want to just say on this point?
Yeah, I just want to end with, you know, our passion should be one of introducing these little hearts, you know, to go on a journey of discovery of who, of the who, you know, of God, who God is, and the reality of him in their little lives, and not the why. You know, we can get to know a God that's with us, that's in us, that's all around us, and that we are in, and that is everything we need to live this life. And that's everything we need to live this life loved. And from that place, you know, of who God is. And we are introducing and helping them to connect to this God that is love, a God that is peace, and the God that is life. And so what a beautiful connection to have, to be able to have.
Yeah, and I want to remind you, it's come through in the conversations over the last few weeks, but remember, it is okay to say, I don't know.
Yes.
We don't have to have all the answers.
We don't need to know the why.
Yeah, it's better to say, I don't know, and say, let's just go figure it out together, or what do you think, then to give them an answer, a half answer, or an answer that might, you know, lead them to have a warped view of God.
Yeah.
You know, I think we shouldn't feel heavy about these things, but I do think we should be aware of the responsibility that we have, because, you know, I talk to people often and they've sat with this, you know, fear or this heaviness all their lives because they believed that God was punishing them, or they believed that bad things happened because they did something wrong. And that can be so, so hard for people even into their adult lives. And so let's rather say, I don't know, let's rather just go on that journey together with our kids. So Wendy, the next question that kind of came through is, why am I different than my friends? Why am I different from my friends?
Mm. And, you know, that's probably a very common question.
Yeah.
And I always can't help but think that the real question in their little minds is, am I enough for being me?
Yeah, so good.
You know, and maybe ask them. Ask them that. You know, how do you feel about being you?
Yeah.
You know, do you think that's enough?
Mm.
Do you think God loves you like that?
Mm.
You know, instead of focusing on the differences, maybe come back with what really is happening in their little minds.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that happens as adults too.
Mm. No,
I'm sure
for
we
sure.
think like that. So we can then focus on the uniqueness of being fully loved and fully loved by God, who wants you exactly to be who he made you to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think about nature, and I think this is one of those questions where you can get very practical. Because, you know, if you look at birds, you can even print out pictures of birds, and it's like, look at all these birds, like are they, is one better than the other? No, they're different. This one flies fast. This one,
beautiful.
This one is colorful. And I think it's good that you said it's something adults struggle with too, because again, comparison is like one of the most debilitating things for people. And it stops you from actually just living out your, not, I don't want to say calling, because I don't believe there's one calling, but it just stops you from being yourself and just living authentically. And people need you to live authentically.
Exactly. And ask your little ones, you know, what they mean by different.
Yeah.
Their answer might be very different to what you're thinking about and what you think they're meaning and experiencing and perceiving. So ask them.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, part of that will maybe be them saying, I'm not good at that. Like, or maybe they didn't make the choir. I mean, that happens so often where they didn't make the art club. I remember being shattered as a kid in primary school because I didn't make the art academy. And I was like, I thought I was good at art. And so it really does get to their core of like them feeling worthy and good enough.
Yes, for sure. You know, we're talking about why am I different from my friends, you know, and what are those differences? But I think definitely the real question is, am I enough for being me?
Mm.
And we need to be aware of what we esteem in our little ones and what the world esteems.
Mm.
You know, the world esteems looks and accomplishments and personality and achievements and popularity.
Yeah.
That's a tongue twister, but anyway. And you know, what do we esteem? Do we esteem the same things? Does God esteem the same things? And so we just need to be aware of that with our little ones. So looks and personality are very different for everyone. Your personality is not what makes you you. It's not the real you. The Spirit of God in you is the real you.
Mm.
You know, the personality is actually the part that God suggests in Scripture that we die to.
Yeah.
It's the psyche that we die to so that we can live and walk in His Spirit. Mm. Your God-breathed Spirit in you is the real essence of who you are. So going on a journey with your little one in discovering who the Spirit of God is in you, what the attributes are, what the qualities of God's Spirit is, and that would be a great place to start. And those are the things that we need to focus on esteeming. and be aware of esteeming rather than what the world esteems.
Yeah, I remember reading a parenting book, and it was so beautiful because she gave a very practical idea that, because again, I agree, like we often esteem things that are worldly. And so back to a kingdom perspective, we want to build character. We want to become more like Jesus. So she actually made a character chart that she put on a fridge. And so you get a sticker, you know, so normally you would get a sticker for like doing stuff, but yes, she was giving stickers for, I saw you were patient with your brother. You waited really nicely without moaning or whatever.
Yes.
You were so generous there. You were helpful. And so they get stickers for actually doing, like showing certain character traits. And so we can intentionally and actually quite practically turn our focus towards building that character, that Christ-like character in our children, I think.
And once again, we are not our flesh. You know, we must, I mean, if we can just let our little ones know that and understand that, that we are not our flesh. We are children of God. We are made by Him. He has breathed life into us. He has breathed His Spirit in us. And that's who we are. Yeah. That's the essence of us.
And I think just one other aspect of this might be the, I know I've had this question like from my seven-year-old, you know, so-and-so doesn't want to play with me. And so to also explain to them that you're not going to be friends with everyone and everyone is different and that's okay. And that's, again, there's a beautiful metaphor in this body of Christ. You know, go read that passage of scripture with your kids. You know, the foot can't be the hand, whatever, I'm paraphrasing. But we all need to look different and do something different to form this body. Together we make a really great team. And so that is just a great perspective for your kids as well. What an amazing series this has been. I have learned so much by doing this and by chatting to Wendy. I think just intentionally thinking about something is so powerful. I don't have all the answers. It's just having a conversation about it opens up my eyes and my perspective. And so thank you so much, Wendy, for being just so willing to chat with us and give us your time and your experience. Thank you.
It's been an absolute honor and a privilege.
So before we wrap this up, and remember, this is now week four. We've put everything on our podcast section. Today's talk will be up very soon, but go and listen back. This is a resource you can refer back to often. And so, Wendy, before we say goodbye to you, would you maybe just tell us some of the most important, key, fundamental things we should know as parents when we approach these conversations?
Yeah, I just think our passion for our little ones, you know, whether you're a teacher or a parent or an uncle or an auntie, is to just point them to God and allow them to experience God for themselves and not kind of secondhand knowledge. So awaken a hunger for learning. Encourage them to search Him out. And remember, the process is more important than the product. And so don't always get to the end before you've gone through a process with them. Allow them to experience a process of getting to know their big God. And that's an important thing for little ones, because that's how they learn. They learn experientially.
Yeah.
They learn through their five senses. So remember to just be aware of your view of God also with them. I mean, these four sessions kind of for me were more for parents and teachers, just to be aware of how we see God, and be aware of our defaults and our formation and our views, and journey with them and research God together.
Those were a few gems in there. I love that. It's about the process, not the product. Let's not get caught up and stressed out about the fact that our kids lied. You know, I heard someone once say, like, oh my word, my kid lied. Like, they're a liar. Like, you know, it's...
And then they're branded.
Yeah. Like, guys, our kids are becoming more like Jesus, and it's a process, and so are we. Let's not freak out when our kids are developing and growing. And so I think that's for me as a parent, the biggest takeaway is, like, don't stress about this. just live it yourself and go on that journey with your kids.
Yeah.
They'll be okay.
And the most important thing for me is just don't tell little ones what they need to know, but what they need to think and how they need to think, but teach them to think.
Yeah. Exactly. And that sets them up for seeking God out later in life. They don't need someone to just hand them an answer. They know how to go find information. I mean, this is not even just with the scripture. Like, our kids need to know how to be able to do these things independently as well. And so we want to give them the tools to do that. Thank you so much, Wendy. This has been such an honor, such a pleasure.
It's been lovely.